We have dodged graph-based memory for months by saying things like, oh, it is a graph, moving on. People kept asking us to stop doing the smug shortcut. Fair. My brain also feels like a corkboard this week. So, Air, this is painfully on brand.
Painfully? Okay, the corkboard is actually the right starting point. Imagine every useful thing the system knows is an index card, and the strings between cards have labels. Not just red yarn for drama, actual labels like works for, happened after, contradicts, belongs to.
So not a scrapbook of paragraphs, more like a messy detective wall, except the detective wall can be queried without anyone muttering near a window.
Exactly. In normal text memory, a system stores chunks, a paragraph from a chat, a note, a document excerpt. When you ask something, it searches for chunks that seem related. In graph-based memory, the unit is the thing and the relationship between things. A card might be a person, a product, a task, a bug, a decision, or a fact. The string might say owns, depends on, was decided by, changed into, or was mentioned with. The memory is not only what cards exist.
Okay, but before we get too comfortable on the murder board couch, where do embeddings come in? Because every time graph memory comes up, somebody also says embedding like that explains everything.
We did the long embeddings version in episode 705, but quick version. An embedding is a list of numbers that places similar meanings near each other. Graph memory often uses embeddings and neural networks, but the graph is the explicit relationship layer.
Okay, that's good. Embeddings are the smell test for relatedness. The graph is the pin string saying why two things are related.
Yes, and that why matters. Suppose a conversation mentions Paris, the Eiffel Tower, iron, and Gustav Eiffel. A flat memory system might store that as one nice chunk. A graph system can store Paris as one node, Eiffel Tower as another, iron structure as another, with labeled edges between them. The edge is not decoration. It can say Eiffel Tower is located in Paris, was designed by Gustav Eiffel's company, or has material iron.
So if I ask, where is this iron tower thing connected? The system does not rummage through every old paragraph. It starts at the Eiffel Tower card and follows strings.
That is the core move. The query becomes traversal, moving from node to node along edges. If the system needs two steps, like Paris is in France and France is in Europe, it can follow that path. That is multi-hop reasoning in the plainest possible sense.
Stop it. Multi-hop reasoning is just walking across two strings on the corkboard?
In this narrow case, yes. The hard part is building a board where the cards are right, the strings are right, and the labels are not hallucinated nonsense.
That is where I get stuck. Who makes the board? Because if the model reads a conversation and invents a relationship that was not there, now the memory has a very official-looking lie.
That is the first real catch. Graph construction can come from structured data, like a database where columns already imply relationships, or it can come from unstructured text, where a model extracts entities and relations. Hybrid systems do both. But extraction quality controls the whole ceiling. If you make every noun a node, the graph becomes confetti. If you only make giant concepts nodes, you lose the useful detail. Same with edges.
Where does a directed acyclic graph fit? Because I have heard people jam that into memory discussions and it sounds like graph with extra math goggles.
A directed acyclic graph is a graph with arrows and no loops. Some memory and workflow systems use that shape for ordered histories, dependencies, or decision chains. But graph memory broadly can have cycles because real knowledge loops all the time.
Okay, wow. So a task history may want the no-loop version. A person to project to meeting memory might absolutely loop because reality is annoying.
Reality is aggressively annoying, and the direction matters. Paris connected to France is not the same as France connected to Paris if the label says capital of versus contains. The graph can preserve that asymmetry instead of hoping a language model infers it cleanly every time.
This is the product part that makes me irritatingly happy. If the system answers a question, it can show the path. Not just, trust me, vibes were retrieved. It can say, I used this card, followed this relationship, then landed over here.
I hate that this is accurate, but yes. The modern setup usually combines the graph with a language model. The graph organizes memory. The model turns messy language into candidate nodes and edges, interprets the user's question, and writes the final answer in human language.
And this is adjacent to context window management, right? We did that overview in episode 747. Graph memory is deciding which papers even deserve to be pulled onto the desk.
Yes, and it also touches state serialization from episode 758. Serialization is saving state so a system can resume. Graph memory is a particular structure for what some of that remembered state means.
Okay, back to useful embarrassment. Give me actual systems, because otherwise the corkboard starts floating away.
The graph engineering playbook we went through was 1, concrete version, use graph structure to keep entities and relationships explicit, then let the model operate over that structure instead of pure text mush. The interesting bit was the discipline of deciding what gets represented.
Right.
Then there was that unified memory implementation where memory was split into entities, facts, episodes, and summaries. Same corkboard, more shelves. And MR agent was the spicy one because it reported cutting token use by up to 27 times. That is a real reason to care if it holds in your workload.
Oof. 27 times is the kind of number that makes finance suddenly become an AI architecture enthusiast.
Right, but I would still test it locally. Recent work is also branching out. MemoRai frames memory organization and retrieval as adaptive graph intelligence for conversational agents. Magma uses multiple graphs for agentic memory. GAM uses a hierarchical graph. HyperMem goes even further with hypergraph memory for long-term conversations where one relationship can connect more than two things.
And then, because the universe enjoys humbling us, there is also a paper basically asking, does memory need graphs? Which is such an air title, I assumed you wrote it in a fugue state.
I obviously did not sleep on it, literally. But that question is healthy. Graphs are not automatically better memory. If the task only needs one recent fact, a flat retrieve note may be cheaper and simpler. The graph earns its keep when relationships, updates, conflicts, or multi-step paths matter.
I want to push on that, because a lot of product teams hear inspectable memory and immediately go, great, graph everything. Customer calls, docs, tickets, chats, the whole swamp.
No, I think that is wrong as a default. Graphing everything can make retrieval slower, maintenance harder, and errors more durable. A bad paragraph is annoying. A bad node with 10 confident edges can poison a lot of answers.
Okay, fair. So the board has upkeep. You are not buying memory. You are buying a memory garden that immediately starts growing weird vines.
Exactly. Large graphs cost something to traverse. Old facts go stale. Two nodes may refer to the same thing. One relationship may depend on context. Real language is ambiguous, so extraction has to admit uncertainty instead of pretending every string is permanent truth.
That lands. The product win is not that the graph knows more. It is that the system can keep important relationships visible enough for a human or another process to check.
Where it stands now, graph-based memory is still very live. It has not been replaced by some cleaner successor, but it is also not the only serious memory pattern. The current practice is more like use graph structure where relationship-heavy memory is the bottleneck and combine it with neural retrieval and language generation.
So if I am building an agent that tracks durable tasks, decisions, owners, dependencies, and changes over time, graph memory starts to look practical. If I am just answering from a short document, maybe I do not need the corkboard.
Yes, and the implementation question is brutally concrete. What are the nodes? What edge labels are allowed? Who can update them? How do you remove stale facts? What path did the answer follow? If those answers are mushy, the graph is probably decorative.
Give me the one-line version, but not the bumper sticker version. I know you have a grumpy, elegant sentence in there.
Graph-based memory is a way to store remembered things as connected structure, so the system can follow relationships instead of only searching text. The magic, when there is any, is in the edges, not the word graph.
Beautiful. I am labeling that edge as reluctantly poetic, and I refuse to delete it before episode 792.